Introduction. If you are excited to read this book, you have issues. Do you understand the weight of what we are about to consider? We are exploring the possibility that you and I may end up being tormented in hell. Excited would be the wrong term to use here. Necessary would be more fitting. For some, this discussion will open up old wounds. It certainly does for me. The saddest day of my life was the day I watched my grandmother die. When the EKG monitor flatlined, I freaked out. I absolutely lost it. According to what I knew of the Bible, she was headed for a life of never-ending suffering. I thought I would go crazy. I have never cried harder, and I don't ever want to feel like that again. Since that day, I have tried not to think about it. It has been over 20 years. Even as I write that paragraph, I feel sick. I would love to erase hell from the pages of Scripture. How about you? Have you ever struggled with hell as I have? Do you have parents, siblings, cousins, or friends who, based on what you have been taught, will end up in hell? What a bone-chilling thought. Until recently, whenever the idea of hell and the idea of my loved ones possibly headed there crossed my mind, I would brush it aside and divert my thinking to something more pleasant. While I have always believed in hell with my mind, I tried not to let the doctrine penetrate my heart. But I reached a point where I could no longer do this. I could no longer acknowledge hell with my lips while preventing my heart from feeling its weight. I had to figure out if the Bible actually taught the existence of a literal hell. How great would it be if it didn't? Then I would be able to embrace my grandmother again someday. So I decided to write a book about hell, and honestly, I'm scared to death. I'm scared because so much is at stake. Think about it. If I say there is no hell, and it turns out that there is a hell, I may lead people into the very place I convinced them did not exist. If I say there is a hell and I'm wrong, I may persuade people to spend their lives frantically warning loved ones about a terrifying place that isn't real. When it comes to hell, we can't afford to be wrong. This is not one of those doctrines where you can toss in your 2 cents, shrug your shoulders, and move on. Too much is at stake. Too many people are at stake. And the Bible has too much to say. Who should I believe? Part of me doesn't want to believe in hell, and I'll admit that I have a tendency to read into Scripture what I want to find. Maybe you do too. Knowing this, I've spent many hours fasting and praying that God would prevent my desires from twisting Scripture to gratify my personal preferences. And I encourage you to do the same. Don't believe something just because you want to, and don't embrace an idea just because you've always believed it. Believe what is biblical. Test all your assumptions against the precious words God gave us in the Bible. There are many things that I believed and practiced for years, only to change my views after further study of the Bible. I've learned to be okay with saying, "I think I was off on that one." While this is humbling and difficult, it's better than continuing to believe something that is inaccurate. For example, I was initiated into the American church when people urged me to pray a prayer to receive Christ so that I wouldn't burn in hell. After years of leading others down the same path, I changed. I now speak against this idea of simply praying a prayer as fire insurance. I just don't see it anywhere in Scripture. I was also taught that the Holy Spirit no longer empowers our lives with miraculous deeds because these ceased long ago. For many years, I discouraged people from pursuing the supernatural. After further study of Scripture, I now believe that the Spirit can heal the incurable, accomplish the impossible, and ignite believers to do greater works than Jesus, John 14:12. And I urge people to believe the same. I have distanced myself from traditional forms of church in pursuit of what I believe is more biblical. I don't believe God wants our church life to be centered on buildings and services. Instead, God wants our churches, whatever specific forms our gatherings take, to be focused on active discipleship, mission, and the pursuit of unity. At one point, I even sold my house, quit my job, and left the country because I didn't want any of my comforts to hold me back from pursuing God wholeheartedly. I wanted to follow God wherever He led me. Why do I tell you all this? I'm not going to hang on to the idea of hell simply because it's what my tradition